Bernd Scherer. Ladies and gentlemen, delighted that you're all here with us today. Although the huge demo made it quite tricky, and I think that some of those who were at the demo are keen to come along here tuned, that's a good thing. Steinmeier, last Wednesday at the Academy of the Arts in the Hanseatenweg, inaugurated the 100 years of Bauhaus. Centenary year, and of course, there's a lot of backdrop to the CDU, the CSU, and even the far left agreed in a cross-party agreement to support this commemorative year. But I think that the event that marked the inauguration really triggered a wonderfully curated event and a wonderfully curated year with wonderful artists. There's the Bauhaus stage. For those of you who haven't had a chance to have a look at what's going on in the Academy of the Arts, I can really warmly recommend a visit to you. And I think that in that programme, you'll see that there's very many different influences. There's the Bauhaus institutions, there are people from the design community, academics, culture, those involved in teaching, university and school level. And the question really is, what exactly is it that we're celebrating 100 years of the Bauhaus? Many people have entirely different images. Some think of a Swiss DIY store, some think of walking around Tel Aviv and the aesthetics of some of those buildings, which is one strand of the Bauhaus architectural style. You can see design objects, lamps, chairs, other everyday objects, and a lot of that actually is subsumed under the notion of Bauhaus. There's photography, there's architecture, there's all kinds of different facets. Bauhaus is everywhere, but perhaps it's not so well represented nowadays. After 100 years, Bauhaus seems to be a synonym for everything, a universal kind of international style that sounds a bit like branding and marketing and instrumentalization almost. One can also ask to what extent we must take care to ensure that myths and legends that some of the Bauhaus protagonists also create themselves, we shouldn't just fall into the trap of those myths and legends. The debate about the Bauhaus is well worthwhile. And also, looking at its concealed foundations, it's much more than just a design school. And the more there was avant-garde design created and produced there. And it was also always a locus of political debate. And that made it eminently political, logically enough. And of course, the Bauhaus School is a specific historical phenomenon. And we should be careful about taking it out of that socio-historical context. So yes, the Bauhaus is history, but not just. Hannes Meyer, the second director from 28 on, he said in 43 that the Bauhaus was a child of the German Republic. It was born in the same year as Weimar and died in the same year, but it was also a European and international educational institution. And perhaps you could add, as a child of the Weimar Republic, it grew up in a climate of increasingly aggressive politics and violence from the right. Today, 100 years after the foundation of the Bauhaus, we find the same problems. We have artistic creativity and political freedom under threat. We see populism and right-wing notions bubbling up and nationalistic notions. We see problems with capitalism bubbling up as well, issues that nobody saw just recently with the euphoria after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And we have debates as to the distribution of societal wealth. And if you look at a city such as Berlin, you can see how serious issues such as shaping society and housing, for example, are taken, how crucial they are. And there are strands that link the past to the present, even if it's just in terms of the questions that crop up again. How do we want to study and learn? How do we want to live? How do we want to work? These are all issues that the Bauhaus addressed while it was in operation. And it's fascinating to trace links from the past to the present. And it wasn't straightforward to put them into any kind of context. Those Bauhaus players, Hans Meyer, for example, was more on the left. He had a very emancipatory, participatory approach during his time at the Bauhaus. And then there was Johannes Itten from the early years. His esoteric approach subsequently took him far to the right. Ludwig Mies van der Rohe, on the one hand, created a monument for those who fell in the November Revolution, the communists, that is to say, but subsequently was at least opportunistic in his approach to dealing with the Nazis. Some say that he, in a sense, collaborated. Yes, the Bauhaus was political. It most certainly was. How very political it was, and we should look carefully at that. We find ourselves now in an era in which there are so many different issues that the last two generations thought they'd actually dealt with once and for all are actually emerging again. Looking back 100 years, how do people deal with these challenges? There's a great deal of debate. Now, think of what Hannes Meyer said. The original function of art was to produce what people needed, not to produce luxury. Art's not about creating something that allows the bourgeois or the elite to set themselves aside from the others. It's not just to entertain a small stratum of society. Art is of eminent importance, particularly as part of a process of negotiation and a societal process. So in a sense, this event is a preventive one to ensure that you don't just see banal design copies being made during this Bauhaus year. You don't just want this wishy-washy approach to prevail. We don't want to have just this very streamlined tourism marketing. The Bauhaus is important if you look at its political and cultural significance. We have to be careful as to appropriation. We heard before about the Humboldt Forum. We're discussing today how we should deal with the colonial past. So there's a great deal that we have to work through in German history, not just the Bauhaus. And then October, November, there was a debate. Feine Sahne Fischsilet's concert was cancelled. And that shows how many different Bauhaus contexts there are. The Bauhaus in Dessau decided to cancel the concert with Feine Sahne Fischsilet and said, "We, as the Bauhaus, are consciously not political." That was where the concert that was cancelled was supposed to be. And I think you need to be very forgetful about the past if you just take this sentence in isolation. It arose in a particular socio-historical context. And you can't take that as the motto for the Bauhaus year. Hannes Meyer certainly would not have said that. And looking at the whole of Bauhaus history, I have difficulty saying that that would fit as a motto. So dead Bauhaus is perhaps one that's much easier to celebrate, pointing just to the architectural heritage from Dessau to Weimar to Tel Aviv, and indeed right across around the world is one thing. We can look at the design objects. That's all fine and dandy. Now, of course, grappling with this can be a genuine source of inspiration. But the question is, what do we do with today's challenges? How does society deal with them? How does art deal with them? How can this help us to move ahead? I think that is the really challenging part of this centenary year. That is, at very least, what this year has to achieve. We don't want to just become stuck in reverence and veneration. I've tried to express my wishes for this year. One of these was the hope. There's a growing awareness of what the Bauhaus was. It was more than art movement, more than just a style. Perhaps we've managed to do something to make people more curious about how art and the humanities intertwine with politics, with all of the potentials in that field of conflicts, and indeed also including failure. As Bernd Scherer has mentioned, it'd be wonderful if we could uncover layers of Bauhaus history and find a new kind of resonance with the issues of today and with today's contemporary art. After that highly emotional debate about the Bauhaus, and how political it is or is not, we thought that we would organise this event. So I'm delighted that Bernd Scherer and his team, many others from the Bauhaus Alliance, those who have a critical academic backdrop and a critical backdrop in the arts, managed to get this event up and running. That's wonderful. I think that this is exactly the right place for that, because the connection between society and art has always played a crucial role here. Perhaps we need to think about the educational role of art, the role of art in shaping society, how art impinges on, for example, urban planning, housing, emancipation, internationalization, the political role of cultural institutions as well. That is one of the key issues. There are enormous parallels with the 1920s. There's pressure from the right wing. There are certain interpretations of what art should do nowadays, and we need to do all we can to ensure that those on the right cannot gain a foothold in any way, shape, or form. Thank you.